Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. It is a hostful goodness podcast. I'd just like to say, hey, please sign up for Nerdist News, the daily email newsletter that is pertinent to your interests. I assume if you listen to this podcast, go to nerdistnews.com and subscribe to the newsletter. And then daily Nerdist in your email inbox. I know, you probably get a lot of stuff in your inbox, but this stuff is actually relevant to you, so it won't feel like spam. It'll feel like your friend going, hey, check this shit out. And you'll be like, thank you, friend. And then you can go on with your day. I'd like to thank our returning sponsor to this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, Hover. Hover.com is all about making domain registration and service simple. I'm sure you've tried to register domains before, and you go onto these domain sites, and they're just junked with crap, and it's impossible, and you can never get anyone on the phone. It is the complete opposite experience at Hover.com. It's clean, simple, beautiful UI. You can register stuff easily. That's all they do is register domains. If you have problems, they have a no-hold policy for customer service calls Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. You call, you get a live person. They're not going to put you on hold, and then you can register the domain you want or have any questions or transfer for domains, forward email addresses, redirect domains, create URL extensions, set privacy controls, anything you need, they can help you with. So I thoroughly urge you to go to hover.com right now for your domain management services. That's hover.com/Nerdist and use the offer code Nerdist. We thank Hover for their support. And now the Nerdist Podcast, episode number 174. Hashtag hostful.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Is that
fast? Okay. I've just turned on the recording equipment. I told Matt and Jonah that I was a little overwhelmed with stuff this week because there's a lot of stuff coming up this week. And so Matt suggested that I masturbate onto a lady.
Masturbate before bed onto your girlfriend. And then you just fall right asleep.
But what about...
Does it matter if it's on anybody?
No, I feel like it helps.
Seems like the same thing happens. Once it leaves your body, it doesn't matter where it goes.
Well, maybe to you.
Wait, you don't have the ejaculate that sends feedback back to your brain once it touches down somewhere?
No, I did an upgrade. I haven't done the next upgrade.
You haven't done the upgrade yet?
No,
that's what your appendix does now.
Yeah, they figured it out, that it sends messages.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I can't find my USB cord, so...
Yeah.
You gotta plug into that tree.
Sad ejaculates. What? That's what they are. They
sad ejaculate of love.
That's just as quality.
Sad ejaculate.
Oh, that's a beautiful song, you guys. It's about the world, you know.
By David
J.
Matthews.
The J is for John.
I was hoping it was for J, J A Y, like Homer J. Simpson.
What
do you got there? What do you got there?
This is Marvel versus Capcom Ultimate for the PS Vita.
Oh, you got the Vita.
This is I reviewed this for Attack today.
How do you like the Vita? I toyed around a little bit at E3 last year.
I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Seemed pretty cool. It's got the capacitive touching on the back.
Multi-touch pad on the back. Yep. Jonah Ray, check that out.
So what does that do?
So for instance, in Uncharted, you climb ropes, and you can actually do the climbing of the rope motion on it.
Oh.
I mean, it's just another fun way to interact with the device. One weird thing it does though. It was like, hey, look at this map. Hold it up to a light, and you'll get the thing. So I'm in the game. I'm trying to find a light to hold it up to.
And I want you to hold it up to an actual light.
I was like, wait a second. Do I actually have to physically hold this up to a light? And I did. I had to, like, go put it on a 40-watt bulb for a little while. Oh, that's okay.
Interesting, right?
That's neat. I mean, at least
it's a fun
and you resented it for making you stand up.
Yeah, as a gamer, yeah. Like, I don't know, physical activity. What is this bullshit?
And in the game, you use the back of it so Drake can jerk off onto his girlfriend
so
and then fall
the
asleep.
Funny, the PS Vita is perfecting the reach around.
The achievement you get, the first achievement
I'm
you
sure
get.
I'm sure Sony
this,
would love that.
Yeah.
The first achievement you get on this is touching some rear.
Oh,
that's the achievement.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, Japan.
What are you guys? Jeez. They're so like us.
They're just like us.
So I don't.
Stars.
The thing in the Us magazine where they're like celebrities, they're so like us, right? And it's just like they're pumping gas.
They drink coffee.
Why are they suggesting that celebrities might be some other species of creature?
Because they are.
I think a lot. If I had so much money,
yeah.
If I had so much money that I would just pay people to do almost everything.
Really?
If I had disposable money. It didn't matter.
You would actually have to pay people to dispose of your money.
Yeah, exactly. I would hire an old lady to throw it into a fireplace.
If you had that much money, you would do things like wear a dress with a slit in it and stand weirdly to the side. That was the only part of the Oscars I saw.
That was hilarious when Jim Rash comes up afterwards.
Here's how fucking dumb I am. I had no idea that Jim and Nat wrote The Descendants. None.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
I took fucking Groundlings classes with those guys in the 90s. They're the fucking funniest. I mean, you know Jim. Jim's on Community.
He's Dean Pelton
and
from
Nat,
Community.
And Nat Faxon is one of the funniest fucking sketch/improviser guys. I love Nat Faxon so much.
Academy Award winning. Groundlings.
It's such an amazing, I mean, like, that's just how fucking funny those guys are, that Jim Rash, with zero line, like no talking, was able, because they basically, the three of them, they said only one person could, you know, to keep the awards tight to 3.5 mm-hmm. hours, the only one person could talk, that was going to be Alexander Payne. And so Jim Rash still fucking crushed the room just by doing something.
That was great.
I didn't watch them.
In an interview, I saw that Alexander Payne said about their draft, it showed me what not to do.
Oh, that's not nice.
And it kind of goes like with what I've heard about him. Just like, it's like, hey, isn't that the nicest thing someone could say? Y'all made a good movie.
His last name is Payne.
Ooh,
that's what he brings.
Exactly.
He brings
Major
the Alexander Payne.
Payne. Major Payne.
House of
Damon
Payne.
House of Xander Payne.
Yes.
So we find Alexander Payne is actually controlled by Tyler Perry. And
isn't
that's where their connection
is. Yeah,
ultimately, yes. He's Tyler Perry has gotten into whiteface. Which is
how about that? That's fucking Billy Crystal, horrible the entire night. Did his Sammy Davis Jr.
And
in the opening bit. And it's just like, it's like how many
I thought that was a joke. I heard someone say that, and I thought they were kidding.
No. The sound was down, but because I shot Talking Dead last night, and
so his impression was that good that he communicated that to you without sound?
No, what I'm saying is he did Sammy Davis Jr., and I guess like in my head I thought, well, I mean, he did do that on SNL, but I wonder if anyone's going to be sensitive about that now. And then I saw a bunch of tweets that are like, he's racist. I'm like, well, from his point of view, I don't know if he's racist. He just did, that was a character that he used to do on SNL, no one ever said don't do that. So, but I don't know. Was it racist?
Well, I'm sure fewer kids watching knew who Billy Crystal was than Sammy Davis Jr.
True. Or either of them, really. They saw a white guy and dressed up like
and
a black guy.
And Billy Crystal has a weird face. It looks like he's had work done all the way up until about his jawline and then just left underneath that to go without any really fixing done.
Do you want us to do the neck, Mr.? I'm not made of money. Well, I am, but I'm not going to.
His face is a kabuki mask.
I didn't see it. Or just like one of those, you know, you see those pictures of there's a weird meme going around of monkeys and doll faces.
Oh yeah.
I haven't seen that.
And,
those are creepy. We showed a video of one on WebSoup once.
And it's little monkeys in clothing with just these crazy like ceramic doll faces on.
I don't
and
like
it's
that at all.
Nightmare.
Like
we showed a video. There was a video. A restaurant in Japan had a little monkey with the porcelain doll face on it and would deliver the tea to tables and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Nightmarish.
Gross.
Yeah.
If that were happening to you, you'd be like, oh, we died on the trip here, right? This is what happens.
This is what happens.
This is
the
purgatory room that we're in as the fates decide where they're going to send us to Tartarus.
For eternity, you will be kind of uncomfortable.
So I didn't see any of Billy Crystal on the Oscars, so I don't know if he was any. I saw,
oh, it was you did see him. It was that turkey that was talking on stage and bringing out people.
I missed the whole thing.
Turkey with really tight cheek skin.
Yes, exactly. They forgot to pull in the slack underneath.
Take it in.
I saw the whole thing because Doug Benson did at CineFamily, which is the best place in the city. I love it. They did the Oscar. Oh yes.
Oh no! I'm sorry.
I
was just having a cold. How did I forget?
I was having a cold. I had a cold over this weekend. I couldn't come out.
I had a cold over. It was really nice. We served hors d'oeuvres.
But Doug Benson did the Oscar interruption. So it was me, Doug, Steve Agee, and Dak Shepard.
Fantastic.
And we just had mics, and it was a potluck too. It was a lot of fun.
That really does sound awesome.
It was the funnest time I've had watching
And also fucking Brett McKenzie winning an Oscar.
Yeah, exactly.
Brett McKenzie.
I want him just going to prison.
I didn't see the acceptance speech. I just saw that he won.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I was at Talking Dead.
He did some jokes up front and then was gracious about the award and was really,
great.
Yeah. Speaking of the Talking Dead. Yeah. I found AMC HD. It was channel 1653.
Are you shitting me?
I missed it.
You're shitting me. It was channel 1653.
Yeah.
That's like a Jetsons joke.
I know.
Yeah. It's not even a real thing.
That's a
Back to the Future joke.
Back to the Future
channels,
2.
Channels 7,250.
We have to get the screen repaired.
High. It goes to like 5. He says 527, I think, is as high as the channel gets.
And it's hidden all the way up in 1653.
Yeah. Like with the movies. Which I guess makes sense because it's American movies.
There's a couple of movie channels after, like, you know, cable movie channels after my cable channels.
I thought it was interesting.
There's like IFC is after all that.
Yep. And but I just didn't realize. Like, the other night I was like, I'm going to figure out what channels I have.
Mm.
There's literally thousands of channels.
Yeah. But no surprises at the awards. Nothing really was like, oh, of course the artist won, you know, it's kind of swept. And Hugo and for set design, shit like that. That was the worst. I'm sorry, real quick. There was like two art department guys that were like, Hugo first. No, Hugo first.
I saw someone put on Reddit like Academy Award winner for makeup, and it was
Voldemort.
They didn't win. It was the Iron Lady.
Yeah.
And so it just had a picture of her and then Margaret Thatcher. They look kind of similar. Yeah. Fucking Ray Fiennes and Voldemort's snake nose. You're like, you know,
yeah.
The snake nose was a little tougher than just putting a couple bags under Maggie Thatcher's eyes.
Maggie Thatcher.
Maggie Thatcher. Also Voldemort.
Oh, this is I got a text from Dana Gould. I think you'll really like.
Yes.
He went to a fancy party.
Mm-hmm.
And said Oscar weekend highlights, hanging out with MacReady. He was next. He sat at a dinner and was right next to Kurt Russell.
Jesus
and
Christ.
Made a MacReady reference from The Thing. And he says, and he scored. Benedict Cumberbatch.
What the shit?
Spelling.
What the shit?
And last night I met a screwy old guy with some crazy medallion who turned out to be Buzz Aldrin.
Whoa.
Oh, Buzz is very much a screwy old guy.
Yeah, yeah.
With a crazy medallion.
He wears two watches.
I went to Channel 101 this weekend as well, where Intimate Indiscretions got number one again.
That's fantastic.
It was very good.
Good for Paul Bonanno.
Yeah, and Jeff Coffin. It was a fun screening too. Some good new shows. It's a really good show called like Coach. It's a show where it's a guy in
Craig
the beginning.
Craig T. Nelson.
It was called Coach, but it's a guy's giving an inspirational speech in the beginning.
Played by Craig T. Nelson.
No, he has nothing to do with it. It's just a same word.
Mm-hmm.
Same word also for a show.
So Shelley Fabre was in it.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Okay. And Dauber.
Mm-hmm.
he gives like an inspirational speech to the. To this team, and then he's walking out, and a guy comes in. He's like, "Hey, coach, you killed him." He's like, "Thanks, man." He's all, "No, your speech was so inspiring that they all suffered brain aneurysms. You killed them." And then it kind of becomes like the Incredible Hulk, where he's like just wandering from town to town, like
trying not to inspire people,
but still helping people to a point.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was really, really, really good show.
I went to Image Expo this weekend.
Where is that?
Oakland.
Oh, that's right. Oakland. There's Image with there were Kirkman was up there.
Yeah, Kirkman was up there. There was a Walking Dead panel.
Was your friend Glenn up there?
Fucking asshole. Yes,
he was. I saw a picture of him and Glenn.
Steve Young was there, and Norman Reedus was there, and Kirkman, and then we did a panel, and Norman and Steve went to Chinatown in San Francisco, and they bought a bunch of fireworks and stuff.
Awesome.
And so they were a couple minutes late coming to the panel, so Kirkman was like, "Man, we better get up there. We'll just fucking bullshit until they get here." And so Kirkman and I are up there, sort of fucking around, and then the doors burst open, and Steve and Norman come in throwing Snap and Pops all over the place.
Awesome.
But then they had these packages of fart bombs.
Oh, no.
And they dropped a bunch, and it's awful.
Yeah.
The fart bombs are awful. And it was one of those things where it was so bad that Stephen was like, "You know, when we were talking about doing this, we laughed and laughed and thought this was going to be an amazing experience."
That's
and so
awesome.
they fart bombed the panel.
Jesus.
And ultimately it went away. But Image Expo was really fun. It was an actual comic con.
But just for one company.
Just focused on comics and artists.
Oh, so but it's not just the Image.
It was the Image roster, but then a lot of artists also showed
booths,
yeah, with their own independent comics.
That's really cool.
And their own work.
That's great. They're all so nice, all those Image people.
They're great, and all the people there, the artists were I bought so much art.
Yeah.
From people, cuz there's just great stuff there, and their originals.
Better add it to the pile of things you haven't hung up.
Seriously, I don't have enough wall space for all of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, there's some amazing artist, and he's selling original work for, like, $10. Jesus Christ.
There was a guy from Image a couple years ago at Comic-Con San Diego who was, it was just like, you could say, "I want a Tron guy as a zombie," and he would come back later in the day, and he would have drawn you a Tron guy as a zombie.
Well, there was one guy who was doing, he would take a stormtrooper and take any other superhero and then like mod the stormtrooper with that.
Oh, that's cool.
Sort of like Iron Man stormtroopers, Captain America.
Yeah.
And then there was an artist named Big Chris, who is a great artist, who would take your badge and he would mod the badge with whatever you want. He was like, "So who's your favorite villain?" I was like, "I don't know. How about the Silence from Doctor Who?" And then he turned my badge. He took the Image logo and turned it into the Silence.
Weird.
And it looked amazing.
That's great.
Yeah, so it was fun.
That's your favorite villain?
Well, it was, I don't know if it's
Brendan Walsh.
Of all time. So. Yeah, I saw Brendan Walsh. Yeah. Running around there. I don't know if it's my favorite villain of all time, but I have enjoyed the Silence in the past couple seasons.
I feel like Blofeld's the best.
Which ones were that?
James Bond movies.
Oh, as far as villains, I thought you were talking about
Stavros. Blofeld. Ernest Stavros Blofeld.
Someone suggested online, and I wish I could find the link to it, because this is not my idea, so I want to, but I'm sure if you search online, you will find whoever came up with this, Mary Poppins as a Time Lord. I was like, oh my God.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Fucking genius.
I love that also that there's that other.
Is that a mashup?
No, like that her character is a Time Lord. The same way that you said James Bond was a Time Lord.
Doesn't make sense, because Mary Poppins is just played by one person.
In just that story.
Yeah.
That you saw.
Yeah.
But maybe that was just part of her life.
Doesn't make sense. I get that her whole bag is bigger on the inside, but listen.
And she floats in like her TARDIS is that fucking umbrella.
Did you see those recut trailers recut, and they did one for Mary Poppins where it's like a horror movie?
Yeah. Yes,
that's fucking incredible.
Yes,
I like that one a lot. That was probably second best after Shining.
Climbing up on Salisbury Hill.
I'm your new foster father.
I thought Brokeback to the Future was really good too.
That one was a bit sweaty, I thought.
That one, I mean, that it was the first one to do it.
To do the two movies.
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm gonna do something which I haven't really done before on the podcast, which is I'm going to drop something into this to the middle of this podcast.
I don't understand.
Well, we have the technology now. I can drop other audio in the middle.
No, it's a linear thing.
It is.
You're gonna have to cut it with scissors.
Yes.
It's hard.
What is it?
I'm gonna take my razor blade and put up a couple lines of cocaine,
okay,
and then start editing my reel the same way they edited Doors albums.
Yeah.
I assume.
Oh, did you see that that clip online of Steven Spielberg reacting to the nominations when Jaws came out?
No.
Oh. doesn't make you feel good about him whatsoever.
Why?
He's just like, oh, come on. Like, he's really upset that he didn't get best
also,
director.
He was 24 years old.
Yeah, I know.
So
he was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should just look at it. It makes you go like, ah, come on, buddy.
Yeah, but if you make that fucking movie and you're 24 years old,
you're going to have an ego. Yeah, of course.
A little bit of
course.
A...
Yeah.
Let's see. So we're outside the panel, the Walking Dead panel, and I'm about to do an interview with this other podcast called The Married Gamers, who are very sweet to me. And this older African-American gentleman comes up and he's like, what are you guys doing over here? And we're like, oh, this is part of...
Morgan Freeman.
It was not Morgan Freeman. No. And he was very well dressed guy, a dapper, elderly African-American gentleman. and I go, well, we're doing a comic book. It's a comic book convention. You know, we're doing interviews at a comic convention. He goes, I wrote Baby Love. We're like, what? Turns out the guy is Lamont Dozier, who wrote a lot of Motown hits.
Wow.
He wrote mostly for the Supremes.
What?
And so the second I found that out, I fucking whipped out my iPhone voice recorder and just started talking to him and talked to him for like 10 minutes. And so I thought it would be kind of fun to drop into the middle of this podcast. But it was such a weird... He was so curious to know what we were doing. And then it turned out, you know, this guy was way more interesting than all of us put together.
Do you think it's because he wanted you to know who he was?
It worked. And considering what he has done in his life, he absolutely does. He's 71 years old.
Wow. 71 years young.
No, he's old.
71 years young is what you have to say to make them feel not like they're on fucking prep.
Sure, if you're Nosferatu.
Precipice of death. Let's take a listen.
If you're Max.
That was interesting.
No, you didn't give me enough of an edit point so you could react to it.
All right, ready? I'll do it. Here we go. That was great. That was really great.
No,
thanks.
You didn't do it again.
No,
you just ran right through it. Stumbled, I'd say.
Okay, and Chris, good. Put it in now. That was so much fun. Oh, my God. That was great.
Chris, you got to have at least a time when you're not saying
anything.
Okay,
I got it, Jonah. Hang on.
All right,
Chris, go ahead and play that. That was so good. I cannot
again, you didn't
believe
leave me
how
any
interesting
space there.
Okay, guys, I will do it now. All right, Chris. Now's the time. Let's drop. Let's hear from Lamont. That guy was so interesting.
I think I got it. Chris, that sounds like a great interview. Let's check it out. All right, let's do it. That was great.
That's the one. No, Chris, that's the one.
But you closed.
Chris, that's the
one. You opened with your closing part.
Right, let's see you
that's
do it, asshole.
One.
So here's the interview with Lamont Dozier.
So your name is Lamont Dozier?
Colin Dozier in Harlem. We wrote Baby Love. Come see about me. I heard it through the grapevine. How sweet it is to be loved by you and all that stuff.
I've heard of all those.
Yeah.
27 Grammys. What are you doing here in Oakland?
I'm doing a soundtrack for Pixar.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Studio 8.
Okay.
Yeah. I know you've been out there before.
Yeah, so this is a comic book convention. That's what we're doing.
Yeah,
here.
Well, I'm doing a soundtrack for a new movie that they're doing. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Do you read comics?
All the time.
What are you reading?
Bugs Bunny.
You
I'm 71.
Yeah. You look great.
Thank you.
What's your secret to staying young?
Write music.
Write music?
Yeah.
When did you first start writing music?
In 1958.
Really? What was the first hit song you wrote?
Baby Love.
Jeez. That's pretty spectacular. What was the music industry like back then? Like, how did they contract writers to write songs, or did you just pitch a song to them?
No, they had a place called, since you're on Google, go to Google, and you can see who I am. Go Holland, Holland, Dozier, Dozier, and it'll pop up from there. You go Holland again. Then go to Wikipedia.
That's really amazing. So what, do you not live in Oakland? You're just here working?
No, I live in New York.
You live in New York.
Yeah, I just came in to do some work. Yeah.
So you work with like James Jamerson and all those guys?
Yeah, but they work for me.
They work for you.
Yeah, but go to my personal website. You can see my picture and you can see the songs that I wrote.
All right. Should I read some of these off?
If you want to.
All right. We've got Baby, Don't You Do It by Marvin Gaye. Baby, I Need Your Loving by the Four Tops.
Yep.
Baby Love by the Supremes. Oh, my my gosh, it's crazy. Back in My Arms Again by the Supremes. Band of Gold, Bernadette, Can I Get a Witness? Come and Get These Memories, Come See About Me, Darling Baby, Fish Ain't Biting, Forever, Forever Came Today. Oh my gosh, I there's so many of these. You did a lot of the Supremes in four tops. Phil Collins?
Yeah, I wrote a song for him called I Can Feel You Calling Tonight.
Do you write music and lyrics?
I write everything, yeah. All the orchestration, everything.
Do you start with music or do you start with lyrics? Do you say, oh, I have an idea I want to get across?
No, I go with what's important and just to convey a feeling. What you do in comic books is you make people feel like heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You give them a piece of the hero's life.
Mm-hmm.
And you make your character a person. Although a hero, but a person.
Yeah.
Well, in music, I make the same decisions that you do. I write music. I don't see why a man has to wait on Valentine's Day to say I love you. I think if woman walk across the floor, you should say, you know, it's so sweet to be loved by you.
Oh, you that's know, great.
You know. You know, and this thing, I want to thank you. For what? Just for loving me. I just want to thank you. And it'll have, and to get these feelings out, to get the conveyor
belt. You've probably never been without a date your entire life.
No. When you do your characters in your book, remember, I don't care how great they are, even Jesus. And even if it's not even true, whoever wrote it gave him a life and made him a part of your life. You can never have a hero that's above everything. He has to have feelings.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have something that is human, or he becomes the villain. A villain does not have feelings. He does not connect with what is reality. Music is the same way. I just wrote a song, and I'll give you the lyrics because it's already published and everything. But they asked me to write a song that expresses a man deeply in love with a woman. And it's a slow song. And my lyric that I came up with was like this. It says, kiss me, then kiss me again. Come take full advantage of this human shell my heart is wrapped up in. I love you. Don't tease me. Take my heart in your hand and please me. At the fork in the road, which way are you going? I like to know. Are you going my way? Well, true love is yours every moment of the day. Are you going my way? Well, love is only a moment away. Then we say, are you going? Are you going? Are you really, really, really going my way, baby? And if you need me, if you really, really need me, why don't you tell me, lady? See, if time does not rob me, I'll master your body. We'll be closer than Siamese twins. And like the air you breathe, I'll supply your need. And so our story began. I'll put the bolt locks on the door and gently lay you down on the floor. And patiently, baby, I undo your clothes. We share our hearts, our minds, and souls. And finally, with your permission, we'll make sweet love in all positions.
Permission's very important for that.
Yeah. And in pleasure, we'll tremble. That's love's perfect symbol. Just tell me, are you going my way?
Oh, Lamont, that is fantastic. That is fantastic. It is. It's really an honor to meet you.
To meet people who can do the. Did you record that?
I recorded it. Can we? Do we have your permission to put it up on the internet as an interview?
No, you can do that.
Great.
You can take a picture, and then I'm going back over.
Okay, great. Okay, we'll take our picture. But you are a fascinating legend, and thank you so much for being here and saying hi. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was really
good.
There
it was.
Yours worked way better than ours.
I liked yours like, oh, put it in. This is so fun.
Soundboard.
Oh, that was total. That was a total Matt Myra soundboard moment right there. For the last several months since my book came out on November 1st.
I am visiting the website every day since you released it. Oh, it wasn't there.
It's up now.
What?
Oh, no.
You know, sometimes things happen where people get crazy.
Sometimes shit happens.
Here's what happened. I wrote, there's no excuse for why I took this long to get the website up. And I apologize to people who bought the book and really wanted the website to be up. I promised something that I did not deliver, and I'm a cocksucker for that. When I wrote the book, there's no excuse. I wrote the book last year, and I was like, well, certainly, you know, by the time this book goes up, we can have the website built. But then we overhauled the Nerdist site, and then we started the Nerdist channel, and then we started doing like five things at once, and it just got shoved aside. So I apologize. The NerdistWay.com site is up. There's examples of character tomes. There's examples of stretches. We're going to put a forum in there in the coming weeks so people can interact with one another.
You can submit.
That'll probably happen because it's the internet. You can submit your character tomes if you want us to put them on the site to show people as examples. And you know, we'll try to help. We'll try to foster a little bit more of a community around it. But I apologize that it took this long, and thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
I would get tweets every day from people, and it drove me crazy because I was like, I know, I'm so sorry. I want to get it up soon.
Where's your website, dickbag?
I know.
That's what I said.
That's what you said.
Every day. And it's weird because, like, since he's following me, it goes right to his phone. So I know.
I've been receiving lots of music.
For Jonah Radio.
Thank you, everyone, so much for sending in all this
music. I'm on Jonah Radio.
And there's another thing I want to do. I want to have a segment where I want to have call-outs for people to submit songs. I want to do, like, a song contest.
I wish I was in Tijuana eating barbecued vagina.
How about this? Let's think of one for the first episode. Should it be a contest to see who can make the best intro song? For Jonah Radio?
Sure, do an intro jingle.
Yeah, intro jingle for Jonah Radio.
Please.
Send it to Jonah Radio, JonahRadio @gmail.com, and I'll play some, and then we'll vote on it, and then you'll get to hear yourself.
Very exciting. I've seen quite a few stacks of submitted music at Nerd Melt.
It's a lot to go through. It's a lot to go through. Everything is like, I've been so excited about the amount of people sending me this stuff. Here's one thing that happened. This guy is a listener of the show. Mm-hmm. He is in the Easy Action Marching Band. I've brought this up before, I think, on the podcast where I talked about how when I saw David Byrne at the Hollywood Bowl, he did a cover of Beyonce's Crazy in Love.
Yep.
And he had the backing up of a huge punk rock marching band called the Easy Action Marching Band.
Oh, I saw that show. That was the dun, 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 and they came marching through the aisles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the first they played Burning Down the House.
I was at that show. That was a fucking amazing show.
So that one of the members of that band is a listener of the Nerds Podcast and sent me, they're finally recording
What's his name?
An EP. I don't remember. There's so many emails, Chris.
Okay, well, Easy Access Marching Band guy.
Easy Action Marching Band.
Easy Access, I think, is better because that means
they've been doing it for over 10 years.
Just totally, if you wanted to get down to business,
10 years of. I don't think they're
you
about
just
to
get right
it.
Into the band.
I think
Easy
it's just
Access.
Best if they just
really. What if we just started promoting them as Easy Access? Easy Action Marching Band.
Yeah.
You guys were amazing.
Yeah. And
amazing.
They recorded an album, and I heard some tracks, and it's really good. I'm really excited.
I love David Byrne so much.
He's so cool.
Never met him.
You ever see those pictures of him like on his bicycle riding around New York?
Yes.
I've seen him. I saw him walk into a cafe with just like a backpack once. I'm like, you're David Byrne. You just walked into a coffee house with a backpack.
Yes.
I don't know.
Should I keep my stuff, Chris?
You may ask yourself, why such a youthful backpack?
I asked him, where's that large automobile? Why are you walking around on foot? He's like, I'm David Byrne.
Letting the days go by.
But talk about a guy who...
Letting the days go by.
Who just did... whatever he wanted to do, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like if you listen to Talking Heads music, you wouldn't be able to say that is specifically 80s music. That is specifically this genre. It's just its own thing that lives in its own little universe.
And just the way he progressed and then incorporated, you know, world music, where he was one of the only guys at that time kind of doing that, you know, just bringing in all these drums and kind of tribal stuff. And
He built that warehouse that you could play like an instrument.
And it was like an art installation he did in New York. And then Regina Spektor recorded a song with it called Machine.
Oh, that's cool.
It's on her last album. Check it out.
I will check that out.
Oh, did you see that tweet? You retweeted it from Ben Folds. Where he says, I haven't broken this many piano strings in 10 years. Recording, like hashtag new Ben Folds 5 album.
Yeah. Oh!
Recording right now.
Let's get them all on.
Oh my god.
I
would love to have him back on.
Use your magic powers.
That is a fucking badass who breaks piano strings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Breaks piano strings.
That's hard, insane. You guys. They're so thick. Sometimes you catch sharks with piano string. That's what Quint did.
He did.
Yep. Bringing it back.
That's in a deleted scene in Jaws that happens to be in the TV.
We should catch sharks with Ben Folds 5.
Catching Sharks with Ben Folds 5 is the new show on the Nerdist Network.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
I'll be there.
Catching Sharks!
We're going to announce our lineup next week, I think. Or at least part of it.
Which part?
Stuff.
Cool.
Brad.
Things.
Kremitz?
No.
In a second, sure.
Really?
I'm going through
well, no,
full...
Like, you got to understand, through. We're 10 minutes past where we're at right now.
No. He didn't have time to throw that.
I'm going through zombie makeup tomorrow for Talking Dead.
Which will be the second or third time in your life. Not counting House of a Thousand Corpses, which was just, you were just.
Yeah, that took a long time though.
Yeah.
That was like 3 or 4 hours of makeup.
Who's doing it?
I might be Nicotero.
Oh.
Wow, that's cool.
Oh, I love him so much.
I do too.
He's so cool.
Great.
He's
gave
so
me
cool.
an ear necklace.
Yeah, he's so cool.
He and Dana Gould are going to be on Talking Dead next week with
Perfect.
Scott Ian.
Nice.
Wow.
So three guests?
Three guests, yeah.
Oh,
well, wow. Because we want to get, there are a lot of people that we want to get on the show, but there's only, there's only 6 episodes in this back half of the season. So
no,
it's like,
I mean, like season 5, you can get Jonah and I on, right?
Hey, come on.
Hey.
You don't do that.
We'll have stuff going on.
That's not what you do. You don't make
doing
someone feel
it for
bad.
You, Jonah.
You don't make
doing
someone feel
for
bad for something they have no control over.
I know you wouldn't want to
You don't think Chris would want me on the show?
This coffee is great.
This coffee's good.
What are you guys talking about over
there? This coffee's fine.
It's a decaf latte.
Oh, I thought you were quitting that. No, it's the chai latte you're quitting.
Yeah, I've been backing off the chai lattes a little bit.
I can't.
It's like drinking a candy bar, everyone. Drinking a fucking candy bar.
Yeah, it is. Oh, did you see what's... I think it's Nestle's Crunch is doing a run of limited edition Girl Scout cookie flavored Nestle Crunch bars.
Oh, that sounds
what
great.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it looks really good.
Oh
I
my
want
god.
Samoas.
I bought so many Thin Mints from Gaston's daughter at Meltdown when we did the book signing. She was like selling I think I bought like 20 boxes of
good.
Thin Mints.
Is that going on right now?
What?
Girl Scout cookies?
It went on a while ago.
What? Usually KP will like remember really good on the web soup even he like came through the offices asking who was going to buy stuff.
Yeah.
God, that's probably for the best.
Fucking Thin Mints in a freezer. You put them in
yes,
the freezer,
yep,
and then
yes.
that's what you do.
Oh,
yep.
Come on.
Yeah.
You're American.
You ever just the fuck on.
You ever like do like a like 5 seconds of a Samoa inside of a microwave?
Yes.
Like, oh yes.
I've done that too. I've done a lot of things because I'm fat.
Hey, we just said we do the same thing.
No, but I've done both.
Hashtag Myra Soundboard. I've done a lot of things.
What was the
I'm
thing?
Fat.
My hands are fat.
My hands are fat. That's me.
Yeah.
Your album.
I want to thank a kid.
Let's thank this kid.
I want to thank this kid a lot because
is it the one that did the drawing of Matt and Sasquatch?
No, that one was really good.
She runs my the Fuck Yeah Matt Meyer Tumblr.
Yeah, they're doing a really
She's
good
great.
Job.
She's great.
Your Fuck Yeah page That's is really great. Good.
Uh-oh, that sounds sarcastic.
No, it's okay. It makes sense though that the person who does mine would be not as good.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. So if you're out there, Fuck Yeah, Jonah Ray Tumblr person, see if you can get Jonah on The Talking Dead. Thanks.
Hey, come on, man.
What the? All right. So there was a kid who had, I've been wanting to do Instagram for a long time, but I wanted to get the Nerdist Instagram.
Someone had it?
Username, and someone had it. Because as we start shooting stuff for the channel, we're going to be working with a lot of fun people. And so I just thought Instagram would be the perfect photographic record of that, but I've never been able to get the Nerdist. Like, someone has had it for a long time. And so I went on Instagram, and I found this kid, and I followed him, and he wrote back, and he was like, oh, hey, you know, like, right away. He totally could have been a dick about it, but he wasn't. He was like, hey, if you can prove you're you, then I'll just give it to you.
And you took a picture of yourself?
No, I tweeted at him, and I was like, great, I'll tweet. I tweeted him from my Twitter account, and... and he gave me the at Nerdist Instagram.
Dude, you could have held out for at least $5. I feel like a $5 gift certificate was coming your way, and you missed it.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna try a $5 gift.
But here's what a sweet kid he was, because I offered him money for it, because I didn't want to just say, like, hey, can I, you know. Yeah. If he would have said no, I would have respected it, because he got there first.
Yep.
And I said, listen, I'll offer you money for it. And he was like, no.
Conversation.
And this kid's like 18 years old. And he's like, nah, it's not really my style to take money for that sort of thing. You know, he said, but my dad's a huge Walking Dead fan. If you can get us any Walking Dead swag, that'd be really nice. But it's certainly not required. And I'm like, oh, my God. So now, of course, I want to get him as much stuff as possible because he was so cool about it. But his name is Andres Torres and his Twitter account is at no good tweets. So please just shoot at no good tweets. A nice, hey, you're a nice kid.
Give him a follow.
Yeah. But did you get him stuff sent?
We are getting stuff sent. Cool, I called today and we're going to get him some Walking
Dead. I just got some new swag from Brian over there. I got four of the Walking Dead TV show version of the toys, nice. Action figures.
Oh, yeah.
And then he also gave me the hardcover version of Rise of the Governor, which is a pretty good book about the governor who hopefully will show up in a season or two.
They just cast him.
They did.
Yeah, they cast the governor.
It's the other doctor. Who wasn't the doctor.
He wasn't
Spoiler.
The doctor.
Spoiler.
Wait, what?
The Christmas special?
The next doctor in 2008.
The one that was in the guy in Old Times, right?
Yeah,
old Times.
That's him.
Really?
He's going to be the governor, yeah.
That seems a bit weird.
How so?
I don't know. I just expected a kind of a taller.
He's tall.
Is
taller
he?
Taller than Tennant.
And Tennant's tall.
Tennant's like 6 something.
I don't know. Who did I. When we went to the premiere, there was a guy walking around who had long hair and kind of a beard. And I remember me and this one guy were like, hey, do you think that's going to be the guy that plays the governor? Because he just looked like, just like a motorcycle kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. No, his name is David Morrissey is the actor. But he's a good actor.
What if it was just Morrissey as the governor?
The picture I saw of him.
Kill everyone. Got to keep them occupied. We are going to have gladiator fights in the middle of a ring. Yeah.
This is a really good song you guys have written.
Gladiator, se habla español. To kill a zombie is such a heavenly way to dine.
I love Morrissey's. I just love the fact that the Latino community has kept him alive and
Klosterman
relevant.
Klosterman wrote a really good essay about that, and it's in his collected works in 4. Chuck Klosterman 4 is the name of the book.
What's behind it? Why?
It goes back to a particular Smith song that the Latino community sort of gravitated around that was like sort of representative of their gang culture kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sort of just...
Take me out tonight?
Yeah.
There's a life that never goes out?
But it's good. Read it. I read it a long time ago, but it's good.
And if a zombie apocalypse kills 6 billion of us, to die by your side is such a heavenly way to die.
This is exactly what it's like hanging around with Tom Lennon.
Yeah.
Is this what Tom does all the time?
You can always hear a little bit of Morrissey in every character voice he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Schwa, schwa, schwa.
Someone, you want to do a...
Morrissey.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. You have cancer.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait, hang on.
What?
That's not good.
Well, he always talks about depressing things in an upbeat tone.
Yeah, but, I mean... Come on. It's just equipment.
Well played.
It's a question. It's a comment. You're in a coma.
Hey, someone just got tickets for our second show at the Trocadero Theater.
Or Trocadero, as
it's
normally pronounced.
I want to say it correctly and then have Chris correct me.
Well,
incorrectly.
The Trocadero's in Philadelphia.
I love Philadelphia. I love a Philly cheesesteak.
Philo. You know, started by the character Philo from UHF.
We added second shows in Minneapolis and Philly. So there are tickets available.
If you didn't get a chance to see us, now you have a chance.
So here this is a tweet from at Rambling Crab. How'd you get the Talking Dead gig? Little advice for a kid with aspirations to be in the same place someday.
All right. Have the same manager. And
What are you talking about?
Put out some feelers.
Put out some feelers.
I'm telling them how to get the job.
Put out some feelers is one of those things like so your parents tell you to do.
You take a lunch.
Put out some feelers. Send out. Here's what you got to do.
You just got to get out there.
Print your headshot on a pita, right? Then you're going to want to get yourself one of them lunch trucks.
You just burn it in. I built you a grill.
Yeah.
It's got your face on it every time you grill something.
It's got your fucking face in it. Then you open a lunch truck. Then you park it in front of an agency or a place where producers hang out.
You know producers.
Yeah, like a massage parlor or a toilet. And then you serve them food and they will see your face and say, I'll bet his acting is as delicious as he tastes. And then you get hired.
I would love a pita
Tips
right now.
Tips from Leo Murray.
Leo. Leo.
Leo Murray would walk into a room, dick swinging. Never seen a guy like this in my life.
For the uninitiated listener, Leo Murray is the name of our manager's baby.
But he is like just,
baby, infant.
Yes, but Leo Murray.
Leo
Murray. This guy, Leo Murray, he would be he would stay all day in the same booth at DuPar's. People would come to him.
Someone wanted to use Errol Flynn for a movie, but he was under contract. And so Samuel Goldwyn went in and had to suck Leo Murray's balls.
Leo Murray! Leo Murray didn't like anything in his coffee. In fact, when he drank it, it got blacker.
Leo Murray!
Guys, it's the new noodle stories!
Leo Murray. Have you people make drawings of a baby Murray. Who's like an old-timey Hollywood agent.
Like the character from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. This is going to look like.
One time my car broke down because we were out of gas. Leo Murray pissed in the gas tank and it never ran better.
A lot of people don't know Leo Murray. A lot of people don't know this about Leo Murray, but he played every role after he fired everybody from Godfather 2.
Leo Murray. He also did the makeup.
So, to answer that kid's question.
No, sorry.
You know, I don't. The getting of that job for me was really the. That's because I've been working for a really long time, I suppose. But I guess
you kind of knew the EP guy.
All you gotta do is do the Walking Dead. There was the guy from MTV. Comic-Con.
Well, yeah, Joel Stillerman is one of the heads of AMC. I mean, he's one of the guys who runs the production, runs AMC, and so. So that helped the fact that I've been working in for a really long time. But I think if you want to start hosting, it really, I hate to even, it just makes me sound creepy to say this, but it was harder in my day. Because with the internet, you literally can just go do things and host them and be funny and you have proof and you can send people to see it. And
in Chris's day, you had to get cast in a dating show.
That's right.
Now you can make a dating show. You don't need money or anything. But look, some of the most successful channels on YouTube are just people being themselves.
Mind-bogglingly successful.
So I would say just pick things you like.
And then pitch your voice up and kind of speed it up a bit.
Yeah,
you're a fucking win.
Yeah.
Right.
Fast cuts.
Fast cuts. And then
graphics, like behind you. Yeah, it's going to be, you'll do it.
And then a monkey in a doll face.
Then you'll
riding a cat.
Terrible CES
in a saddle
coverage
with
Spike.
Brains. I think just find stuff you're passionate about. Start shooting yourself, covering it, put it up. Make the kinds of things that you would want to see. Cover the kinds of things that you would want to see. Figure out what you love. Figure out who you want to talk to. Yeah. And then just do that a lot.
There you go.
And it takes a lot. Yeah. I kind of wish I had saved every crappy pilot I've ever done that didn't get picked up. There are a lot of them.
More than you do. I wish I saved.
Be good for shit show.
I know. I would have. I could just do. I could be the whole panel of shit show with all the crappy television shows that I've done in the past. Do you have a comment?
Oh, I don't get them. I don't get the emails.
Do you have a comment for us? Oh. At Jonah Ray wants to know.
Chris, how do you get on the Talking Dead?
Did I talk about the Setlist show last week?
No, you didn't talk about it.
I had to pull out of it because my brain was scrambled.
I had so much fun doing it. Troy Conrad and and Rick Overton. And it was just so much fun. Matt Kirshen did really well. I was so fucking nervous.
You did great.
I did pretty well. Everyone was surprised it was my first time, so that was a nice feeling.
What were your topics?
The first thing was not racist enough, which became my slogan. Like, you know, that was my catchphrase. Not racist enough.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah.
Who else was on the show?
Rick Overton. What was the big guy from Whose Line Is It Anyway? Who was also the guy that had a heart attack in Office Space? That guy. There's a mole on his head. He's the guy that has a heart attack during the hypnotist scene in Office Space. And he was also in Whose Line Is It Anyway, the original British one.
Mike McShane?
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha.
He was on the show.
Mike McShane was on the show?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Fucking loved Mike McShane.
Yeah. And like, I got nervous because he was just like, oh, I'm going to watch you from the side. And I was like, oh, fuck, this guy is so fucking funny. And it's just all these guys like Rick Overton, who's been doing comedy forever and is just kind of a master riffer. And Matt Kirshen, who was right before me, who just destroyed, like made it seem like he didn't even look at the topics or the inspiration points.
And no inspiration points where you make out in Happy Days.
That's bury where, that's, me that's at where, inspiration point.
That's where Fonzie takes chicks.
Yeah, exactly.
To do something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He makes with them.
Do you think we would find out that Fonzie was actually gay? And that... Because you never actually saw him make out with anyone. And you can understand that socially in that time, it would have been very difficult to be an out gay man. He loved leather.
He loved leather. He was a biker.
Was always with stylish women.
Stop it. Okay.
Always had his arms around him, just like a Karl Lagerfeld.
Fonzie was as manly as they come.
But I never actually saw him make out or finger anyone. And
you never saw him finger anyone.
Didn't see him finger anyone on Happy Days.
On the ABC.
You never saw him like sniff his finger and go, hey, Dolores
are coming.
But wait, you think he would have predicted AIDS?
That's what he did. He went AIDS.
No, I don't think that's what he was talking
about.
That's
what he was going for.
But I feel like you just wouldn't have seen. He wouldn't have been able to be out.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I just saw a movie. That movie, Project X.
Project X.
They had the title screen for the trailer, mm-hmm. it said it was a pound sign. It was a number sign. So they basically, the movie's called hashtag Project X. I don't know if I like that at all.
Well, I just keep thinking of the old Helen Hunt, Matthew Broderick Project X.
The sad
chimp experiment movie.
T-Mobile girl.
Did they replace the old T-Mobile girl with a new T-Mobile girl?
No, it's still
the same. Think it's the same T-Mobile girl.
It is. You might have seen billboards for the Latina community. There's a different T-Mobile girl in the Spanish speaking.
Mad Men's coming back soon, guys.
I know. What
is that?
That's the theme to Mad Men.
Credits, Draper, silhouette, falling. Falling. Signs, billboards, ladies doomed. This music wasn't available in the time of the show.
Still, it's good. Yep. That RJD2, I tell ya.
Oh, is that who does the theme song?
I think so.
I like his shit.
Yeah, The Horror is a fucking great album.
Well, this was a good...
What, we're done?
Pretty much.
That's it?
Yeah.
One Quement.
It feels, I don't know, light.
Okay.
Remember, it's 10 more minutes.
I don't understand. How does that work, Jonah?
Here's one from Kevin P. Higgins.
Hey, KP Higgins.
At Kevin P. Higgins asks, at Jonah Ray, you never went to college, right? Correct. Well, that's all the time we have.
What are you guys doing this week?
You just answer tweets on here?
What are you doing this week?
I'm doing
the lead up with Kevin Pereira.
I'm doing another podcast with Mosier.
I got
Star Trek tomorrow night. By the time this airs, you will have missed it, and it was amazing.
Who were your guests on Star Trek?
Kevin Pollak. and Scott Mosier.
Thanks. Fantastic. You guys are recording your thing, or did you record it already?
Which one? Mosier and I?
Yeah.
Mosier and I already recorded the Phoebe pilot, which resides in our Dropbox folder. Take a listen. We're not releasing that one because my audio is a little low, because I recorded it at Meltdown,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't really used to those microphones.
Gotcha.
And I didn't have headphones on. But I fixed the sound best I could, and we're probably going to release it eventually, but as it stands, we're just going to...
So your podcast coming out, Jonah Radio's coming out. We're going to be...
Working on it.
Yeah, you.
I'm still trying to figure out if it's possible to do it as a weekly.
Right. It's going to be hard.
Yeah. Cash Hartzell is going to come on as the producer. So he's going to help me organize everything and get all the, just produce the segments and whatnot.
Cash is great.
Yeah, he's great.
We're going to, in addition to your guys' new podcast, we also, Janet Varney is releasing a podcast called The JV Club, which is fantastic. Fantastic. It just has a lot to do with like, growing up kind of a dorky girl.
I was at from her point of view. The very first one.
Yeah, you were. Yeah. But she's had some amazing guests on.
So she's been stockpiling?
She's been stockpiling, yeah.
Nice.
And we're going to roll it out. She wanted to wait till after Sketchfest. TJ Miller is going to do a podcast.
Oh, yeah? What's his going to be?
Cash Levy. I believe it's called Cashing In with TJ Miller.
Oh, nice.
And it's funny. It's really funny.
Oh, cool.
TJ's great. So, yeah, we've got some more podcasts coming down the pipeline, coming in your face hole, coming at you right now.
Coming in your face hole.
I said at, if that makes it any different.
No, it makes it the same.
But at and in are different.
Coming at your face hole is something you could do right before bed.
But
put you right to sleep.
Oh.
Mm. Wow. Sometimes there's a man. Sometimes there's a man.
You really make a lady feel special.
That's what I try to do every day, Chris. You know? I try real hard sometimes.
This week.
Do you say your name when you're ejaculating? Myra!
I say it's all for
like,
me.
Snarf?
I say it's all for me.
My oh, Myra.
I heard a rumor that John Mayer does that backstage. Sometimes he'll line up some girls, ejaculate over them, and say, it's all for me.
What does that mean?
I don't know. That's just what I heard.
Did you guys see the?
I heard that in 2004.
Did you see that the footage of that bowler like getting like winning a huge like
Weber.
Tournament?
That was Pete Weber. Yeah. That was Dick Weber's son.
Yeah. Did you hear what he's like? He's just going like he's just celebrating. He's like, and one of the things he says, "Who are you? I am." That's one of he's like,
yeah.
Going ape shit.
Yeah, that was their number one on ATN today.
Yeah, you just see all the adrenaline just spewing through his mouth.
Well, Pete,
he just can't help.
Pete Weber. I mean, I've known Pete since we were kids. He's older than I am, but he's always been very passionate, a very passionate bowler. And in his early days, like he would be sort of a John McEnroe type where he would kind of like have temper outbursts and stuff. And so this very emotional moment was the culmination of him being like, because people saying like it's a young man's sport. Leo Murray. And then just him being like, fuck you guys. It's not, you know.
Oh, that was kind of the, I didn't know there was any baggage before that.
Yeah, I think that was the baggage of like, you know, I'm older, but I fucking still.
Is it really a young man's sport? Because it seems like.
No.
Because it's all just about, it becomes about the precision more than just, it's not like you're,
it's
like,
not really like
a baseball player is like speedballs.
Exactly.
Like, you know, but if you know how to throw a, like a technical curve,
right? Why
doesn't
your dad come out of retirement?
My dad will never pick up another bowling ball as long as he lives. My dad has
back, or is he just like, nope. I'm done. I walked away.
That's exactly it. My dad has this thing that he says where he says, the longer I don't bowl, the better I was. Right? So he knows that at 70 years old, and this is even going back to when he was 50, he still wouldn't bowl.
Yeah.
Because he said, I'm never going to be as good as I was. I don't have the passion to compete the way I did before. And so why tarnish the thing that I had by trying to do it now when I really don't.
What about recreationally?
Are you listening, Paul McCartney?
Not even recreationally?
No. It wouldn't be fun for him.
Because it was all about the competition.
It's the same. It's probably the same reason that I can't play chess recreationally.
Yeah.
Because I played such competitive. I can't believe I'm saying that. I played such competitive chess when I was in school that I cannot just do it for fun. I'm just in the mindset of like, I have to win this, you know, like it's very hard to just, it's not something that I do just to relax. And I know my dad, it was the same way. He was so, he had such insane focus on when he was bowling. This takes a lot of energy. And yeah, you have to care about what you're doing to get to that level of focus.
Yeah.
And say he just does, he just can't do it anymore. So he won't bowl again. He will never bowl again.
I'm sad, but I respect that.
No, yeah. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, there's no, it would be weird for me to see
him
bowl.
Is that what we're going to do one day when we walk away from podcasting?
Yep.
We're never going to touch a microphone.
It was really hard because I was just such a competitive podcaster.
Aren't we, though?
Not really. I feel like I'm not.
But, you know, that's an interesting question. Is there a time where we just say, like, what a nice run we had? Like, and like, you know, like Seinfeld. Just,
yeah, after we get our 30th podcasty award.
I always wonder about that stuff, though, because podcast seems like such a thing that you can kind of just keep doing.
Well,
oh, we'll do it till people stop listening.
No, I wouldn't even use that as the benchmark. Or use that as the measurement.
I don't mean
stick.
To say, just for our listeners, I don't mean to say that this is going to like happen, but like, just it's an interesting thought.
I think it's fair to say that because of what podcasting is and because of the spirit of why we did it, that we only do it as long as it's still fun. Now there are
hear that, Matt?
There are times when it feels like, you know, like, oh, there's work and Matt just hit Jonah. Matt just totally socked Jonah in the arm. There are times
it's
when
a bull on Thursday, bro.
Wait, you're doing that show?
You're going to have a chance to do it too. You just can't do it Thursday because you're working.
I'm part of a bowling team. I bowl.
But I'm going to, yeah, so for the bowling show, I'm, well,
Jesus Christ.
Okay, two things, because but then I can put out that fire.
No, I think right. Mosier is, I'm recording on Thursday.
It's okay.
I'm doing three podcasts.
It's okay. It's
but we started this and we said, like, we should just do this as long as it's fun. Yes. Obviously, sometimes it's a little more work to do the scheduling stuff. It's still, this podcast is still always fun to me every time
yes,
we do it.
I believe so too.
And I feel like when it's not fun anymore, then we don't do it. We're not near that point as far as I'm concerned. So who knows when that'll be, but stop looking at him giving Matt the side eye.
Whatever.
Don't hit me again. Don't hit me again.
I didn't say it. He said it. Don't get crusty at me.
Don't hit me again, nice guy on the podcast.
Oh, thank you.
So
thank you, Jonah.
So the show that I'm going to do for the Nerdist channel is going to be called All-Star Bowling, which is sort of an homage to my dad's bowling center, All-Star Lanes. And we're going to do it at the spare room at the Roosevelt Hotel, which I went to today, and we location scouted. It's,
you know,
fucking
it's gorgeous,
awesome.
Isn't it? Awesome. Isn't it so cool?
Now that you said the name of it, I get why I'm not on it.
Why?
It's All-Star Bowling.
What does that mean?
I'm not a star.
Wait a minute. First of all, you are a star, buddy.
No.
You
he
are.
Just told you it was because it was an ode to his dad's.
No, I get it, but it's also a clever name, and then I tried to do a joke that no one understands.
Oh. It's hard to tell sometimes.
I know. That's kind of the beauty of it.
I don't.
Also,
beauty is a word.
Can't drive.
All right, so the idea of the show is that there's going to be a Team Nerdist playing against another team, another themed team every week.
Theme team
for charity. And so the Nerdist team will rotate people. So, you know, this week it'll be you and probably Kumail.
I'm going to be there tonight at Spare Room.
Oh, you're going to be there tonight?
Because I'm on part of the AST Records bowling team.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, You will be on at some point, Matthew.
I don't think I'm bad at bowling.
Doesn't matter. It's not about that.
Well, it's kind of about winning.
You have
no,
a ringer.
It's
in
not.
Chris.
Yeah, I know. But like one
I'm
time,
not the best either. And it's a different kind of lane. It doesn't feel like the normal bowling centers.
It's funny to hear you say that. Do you know why it feels that way?
Because it's the original style, right?
Because it's wood.
It's wood.
Yeah.
And when you go bowling now and you fancy goddamn bowling centers, it's all synthetic. And so what you're bowling on is perfectly flat synthetic material with like imaged wood grain. They print wood grain on it. And so when you but wood is different, and wood you have to resurface and you have to keep it level, and it's a fucking pain in the ass and it warps.
Yeah. And lofting is a much harsher crime.
Yeah, because wood is, you know, it's
gonna fucking give.
It's gonna give a little bit. It's a
and
little soft.
It's wood from a bowling alley in Texas.
Yeah, they told the guys. I met the guys today, and they were great. And what an amazing space that is, the spare room.
It's so cool,
gorgeous.
So it's too bad. It's just where it is. You know, whole area is just bad for parking. It's right next to the whole Hollywood Strip thing. You know,
right. But you can park at the Roosevelt.
But how much do they validate for?
I don't know.
I always end up parking by the IHOP.
Mm-hmm.
Always parking on the street right there.
Always cheap parking by the IHOP.
Always cheap parking by the IHOP. That's what old Leo Murray used to say.
Listen.
When in doubt for parking,
go to the IHOP
and take
Leo Murray.
Well, we know what this episode's going to be called. No, but then if I call it Leo Murray, people's going to think he's a guest.
Oh yeah, like, who's Leo Murray?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But it would be, because he did just turn one, it would be a nice ode to...
It would.
He's already one?
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't know. I don't think we can call it Leo Murray. I don't think we can call it
Leo. What should we call it? Now we're thinking about it.
I don't know.
You know, sometimes the name just comes out of it. I just listen to it, and I'm like, that's it. I just sit alone, and I light some candles.
I got to be honest with you. Half the time, I don't remember where the names came from. When I look at them, I'm like, "What? I don't. Who said that?
Who said that? There you go.
Who said that?
That one I might remember.
All right.
The amount our hostfuls get so meta is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid.
There's your new name.
It's kind of stupid.
That's my name?
There it is now.
Oh. I went on and I read all the shitty reviews of us on iTunes.
Why would you do that?
By most critical. I felt like feeling bad about myself. So
that is the emotional version of cutting.
Yeah, it kind of was. Yeah, I had a weird retrospective week with the podcast. I did. I went in and looked at those and I was like, oh, these are terrible reviews. Although one guy said the bright shining star was Matt Myra.
Oh, there you go. The people's like, champion.
Should make you feel good.
You're a jerk. No, they're all shitty reviews. And I was like, this is good. Do people always hate good things? And then I went and looked at Paul F. Tompkins' podcast and did the same thing. And he had almost exactly the same words as reviews. And I was like, oh, it's just the people. Sometimes it's just the people.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when anything you do, some people are going to love it, some people are going to hate it. Some guy, I blocked some guy on Twitter today because I just didn't have...
Feels good, doesn't it?
I just didn't have the energy for it, but he was just like, he was irritated. This made no sense to me. His tweet was something like, is there anyone in Hollywood whose ass Hardwick won't kiss like Willem Dafoe? Amazing. Like in quotation marks, because I said amazing a few times, and then he just hashtagged it gag. Hmm. Like, first of all, Willem Dafoe is deserving of the word amazing.
Yeah,
he is amazing.
He is great.
And I was like, I just don't, and I blocked him. Yeah. And
remember when I was complaining about the kid that did the, he was doing the poi N-word or pineapple N-word?
Yeah.
He heard me complain about it on the episode, and he's like, and he tweets at me saying, I guess my poi N-word meme is done. What's not a meme?
Now, I don't know if racism is really considered a meme.
What is wrong with you?
In many ways, it was the first meme.
What is wrong with you? Oh, I get it. You're really trying to push boundaries of being an asshole.
Scumbag Steve.
Jeez, guys, we have it so hard. I mean, it's like people don't even know.
No, it has nothing. Like I didn't. It was nothing against me. He was, you know, never really. It was never negative. It just his vocabulary was negative, and I didn't like it. I didn't appreciate
fucking
that
sandwich.
Well,
he's not coming back.
Thank God.
Remember, I said we would do this until it wasn't fun anymore. Oh, that hurts my chest.
Well, now that Jonah's gone, this is great.
Enjoy your burrito?
I guess so. I want a sandwich, though.
Okay. We'll get you a sandwich.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by Hover.com. Hover is domain name registration and management that is simple. For 10% off your new domain, go to HOVER.com/Nerdist.
Are you tired of dating assholes? Do you want a Prince Charming? If so, we're filming a reality show. Sign up here.
12 American women are flown over to the UK for a bachelor-style reality dating show.
There are so many questions about a show like this because it's so odd.
These women have been told that they were going to be dating the world's most eligible bachelor, Prince Harry.
What? Y'all playing with me, right?
You can binge The Bachelor of Buckingham Palace exclusively on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.